And now it's time for Crystal Clear Coaching with Maggie Holbert. Join Maggie every Wednesday, 11 a.m. Central, 12 noon Eastern, for an hour of positive reinforcement on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, here's Maggie.
Hello, everyone. It's Maggie here calling in from sunny Orlando, Florida. So I appreciate everyone that is called in today or is listening in. And we had a little bit of a late start today because we scheduled a special guest at a special time. So if you were on the call at noon, we apologize, or 11 Central Central, depending where you're calling in from. We are on schedule and excited to get going. And you are listening to Crystal Clear Coaching with Maggie Holbert, where we specialize in wellness of body, mind, and spirit. And as I mentioned, I'm here in Florida today and just arrived last night to take my daughter to Disney. So I'm pretty excited about that, and the family's excited. And it's just lovely to look outside and see the palm trees and the sun shining. And I have a nice cup of Starbucks Italian roast coffee that I'm going to share while I have you on the call today. So without further ado, you're listening to Blog Talk Radio /GGM Radio. I'm going to introduce my special guest today. He's an amazing man with amazing talents, and I've had the personal pleasure of experiencing the work he does. He's helped myself and my family, and I'm very, very grateful to him. He is really something special, and I'm sure you'll get that feeling today during our radio show. And I'd like to bring on Dr. Stephen Fonzo. Dr. Fonzo?
Thank you, Maggie.
Yeah, you're there.
Pleasure.
Good.
To be here. I'm excited to be here.
Me too. And I love just how we can make things work and embrace and go with the flow. And, you know, technology is amazing. I know you're there in Thunder Bay.
Yeah, in a foot of snow.
Yeah, what's the weather like today?
Too snowy.
Ah, it is snow. Well, I'm glad I'm not there. But I love how technology... You know, sometimes when people say to me, well, I'm visualizing you and your guest and you're sitting across from a table, but we're each in our own space and in our own area, and technology allows us to do that. And I love the fact that technology is so advanced and it can bring wonderful opportunities that we can share these messages with the world. And today's a great example because you're there and I'm here, and the world still gets to experience all of your great teaching. So, Dr. Steve, as we like to call you. You don't mind if I call you Dr. Steve, I imagine?
Steve is fine, okay. Too. So,
okay,
yeah,
I still like Dr. Steve. We all call you Dr. Steve. Anyway, Dr. Steve is a chiropractor, a health and life strategist. He's also a seminar and retreat leader and father of three, correct?
Correct.
Okay, good. So why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself, Dr. Steve?
Sure. I was just speaking professionally. I went to Northwestern School of Chiropractic in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and received my training through there. And I was trained as a classic chiropractor, and that was, you know, kind of the start of my journey with chiropractic is going to that school and starting to. I always knew that there was a calling for something bigger in not only the profession, but I think we kind of all view that as well, like within the world, that there's just a calling for so many of us to step up to another level in our conscious awareness of what's going on and contributing to the world in our unique styles, in our unique ways. So the chiropractic profession was a great base for me because the philosophy of it from, you know, well over 100 years ago was, not everyone would necessarily like this to comment, but it was to unite man the spiritual with man the physical, as they wrote it back in the late 1800s. So uniting, you know, woman the spiritual with woman the physical. So the traditional philosophy of chiropractic is absolutely beautiful, and it's based on uniting people, reuniting people, and reconnecting people with universal intelligence and the things, the matrix that we're all connected to and the energy that we're all connected to. So I feel really proud to be to come from that background, although within our profession there's many branches that and kind of new philosophies that people have undertaken. I think it's given me a tremendous background with the consciousness work that I've been able to be exposed to. The conscious work is really just mirroring what some of those original principles of chiropractic provided me in terms of my roots of teaching.
Mm-hmm. Wow, you're speaking my language, you know, consciousness and empowerment, and especially when it comes to our healing. Now, I know, Dr. Steve, that, you know, people tell me that they've gone to see you and they've had amazing experiences, and it's sort of like a special experience. And I know, because you and I both work with, you know, conscious awareness and those types of healing energies and modalities and becoming self-empowered, you have a facet to your practice that is, you know, the network chiropractic and the SRI. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and how you've branched off into that area?
Yeah, sure. Dr. Donnie Epstein, who is a mentor of mine, he, again, very philosophically minded chiropractor who created some new technologies, structural and energetic disciplines that to help to fulfill what the original chiropractic intent was. And so somato-respiratory integration is working with 12 stages of consciousness that we all experience as human beings. We all have 12 stages of consciousness that are available to us at all times. And we float through these throughout the moments, throughout the days, throughout the weeks or years. We float through these different consciousness states. And SRI is a tool that allows people to first become fully aware of where they're at and as an embodied experience, and then it also gives them tools to be able to say, well, where do I want to go? What direction do I kind of want to head into? And then it provides you tools, embodied tools, which is really unique and original, embodied tools to access the certain states of consciousness so that we can start to move in the direction that we're desiring to move. So that's SRI. And then network care is continuing to evolve each year that I'm involved in it. It's continuing to evolve. It started out as a chiropractic technique, and it still is technically a chiropractic technique applied only by chiropractors. But the uniqueness about some of the results that you talk about, it comes back to the intent of what we're doing and why we're interacting, why I'm interacting with people, and what is the space that I'm holding as I'm interacting with these people, and what are my intentions when I do hold a contact, which is very unique to network care. What am I looking to help the system to create? What am I helping to help the system to discover within itself, which is different than, say, a chiropractic adjusting procedure, which looks at finding a problem, fixing it, or correcting it. We're looking at how do we create new strategies for the system to be able to operate in new levels. And I just wanted to add, not that I'm the hugest research guy, but they have done some immense research in creating what we call the network wave. And this wave that's produced in network care, the wave, what we're finding is helping each individual's nervous system to organize at a new level of function. And so as this wave starts to move through the spine and the nerves and the nerve tissue and the body tissue, it's actually creating new levels of operating. It's like upgrading computer systems. And so we're finding in the research done by about 9 universities right now is that this wave, which is unique to network care, is helping to reorganize people's energies, patterns, and nervous system at new levels that haven't been seen in humanity before. So it's really fascinating work that Dr. Epstein's done.
Wow, that does sound fascinating. You know, talking of that, and then earlier you were talking about reconnecting people with universal intelligence and being a reconnective healing practitioner, that, you know, I really relate to that because it is reconnecting ourselves back to this universal source, and that intelligence and that light and information is really expansive and infinite in what we can do in this strategic healing. And so that this is all making a lot of sense to me anyway. Now,
Dr. Pearl.
Yep.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Dr. Pearl, again, you know, for those, what I've viewed is those chiropractors that really latched on to some of the philosophical principles of the original intent of chiropractic, you know, they've gone on to create some powerful healing disciplines and tools, like a reconnective healing, like a network care, a network spinal analysis, like a body talk. I mean, there's been some amazing things that have emerged with principled people that really honor this universal intelligence.
That's right. And just for the people listening in, Dr. Eric Pearl, also a chiropractor, was sort of the instrumental force behind the healing modality of the reconnective healing. So that's who Dr. Steve was referring to. But yet all ties together. And now, Dr. Steve, you were mentioning, you know, working with the levels of consciousness and the 12 stages of healing consciousness. When you're working with your clients and your patients, are you holding the consciousness? Are you teaching them to access those levels of consciousness? Can you just elaborate a little bit more on that? Because I'm really curious. I know you do, you know, I don't want to say magic, because I know the higher intelligence and the things we're tapping into here with empowerment for everyone. But there really is something special. And it's new for a lot of people. So I feel like I'm really like I'm an insider source, that I get to hear your inside sharing. So this could be really exciting for a lot of people to hear what your thought, how you express this.
Sure. So I guess the first part was to answer your question is first for me to have the awareness of the 12 stages and to be fully with the stage that I'm in that particular moment, which then once you're in that stage and you're honoring what stage you're in, it allows that new level of access to go to higher levels of consciousness. But for me, it's important for me to start to work with myself to make sure that I can float through these various stages of consciousness, and then I have the flexibility and the strategies and the tools in my own body-mind process to be able to float through everyone's various rhythms that they're bringing in throughout the day. So it starts with my ability to integrate the energies around me and within myself, to be able to integrate that, again, just within myself, to stay flexible and to use, you know, more of the upper mind. So it all starts here inside my skin, to be able to access these different consciousness states. But then when I'm working and interacting with people, I just get curious and I'm just asking them, you know, where they're at and kind of where do they want to go. And so, you know, they might say, I'm feeling really stuck in an area of my body today. And I say, okay, well, that's great. And so, you know, where would you like to go? What would you like to be, or what would you like to experience more of? And so by asking the question, what would you like to experience more of, it already starts to set their energy in a new direction, and it sends their focus in a new direction. And so we still want to work in what they're experiencing, what the stage of consciousness that they're experiencing. They might be suffering, feeling helpless or hopeless, or they might be feeling alone, or they might feel disconnected. They might be judging parts of their body, which is stage 2 consciousness. They might be just polarizing, looking at, looking that they're having more bad days and good days, and they're starting to polarize their reality, which is stage 2. So we might want to help them to connect into the stage 2 rhythm so they can have more acceptance within that particular consciousness reality. And then deciding, okay, well, where do we want to go beyond that? Where do we want to go next? And so once you connect into that consciousness through network care, SRI, or some different tools that Donnie Epstein's developed, then you can, again, you can take that with you to the next level. But the challenge for many people is we don't want to be in the rhythms that we're experiencing, so we try to experience something outside of what our present reality is. And I see that as being a gift that we get to provide for people, is honoring the state that you're in and then moving you forward, as opposed to trying to get away from what you're experiencing or move out of that experience to something that we might perceive as being better.
So when you say honoring the state you're in, that's, would you say that's more of a becoming aware and accepting, or
yes,
of,
yeah,
where you're, yeah. Now,
the
Dr.
3 A's,
Steve,
awareness, acknowledge, and accepting. Yeah,
awareness,
and all those 3 A's need to be there. And people can be aware and acknowledge, but if there's no level of embodied acceptance of where they're at truly in that moment, it's going to be really difficult to move to the next level or next stage of consciousness, or to be flexible to move into other states of consciousness.
So I, you know, in another way to put it, in some of the work I do with clients is, you know, letting them have that space to know that they're exactly okay where they are. It's totally perfect for their highest good of where the next phase is going. And that's with that allowing and being aware and without judging, you know, where we're at so we can move through it. Now, I love that embodiment of acceptance. Now, Dr. Steve, with that, you started off talking about sort of bringing it out where they're at, where they're feeling stuck, and then putting the intention or the focus. How much of the conscious is it unconscious or is it mostly conscious that people or are they not even aware of where this is?
No, that's a great question. Within the first three stages of conscious that we look at, and I'll just run through them briefly. So the first stage of consciousness is suffering, the embodiment of suffering, where we feel helpless or hopeless or disconnected, which again we spiritual traditions talk about, you know, that we experience suffering regularly every day. So one practice that we teach is to help people to connect into that daily so that it's not kind of like the low anchor that pulls them down. So suffering is the first stage. Polarities and different rhythms is the second stage of healing. Stuck in a perspective is the third stage of healing. So, so within those three stages, those are an embodied response to stress that we learned basically before the age of 7 or 8. So it's mostly unconscious in nature in the first three stages of healing.
Mm-hmm.
So most of it is below the conscious radar. We're responding and reacting to how we've learned to respond and react to the world through, you know, the guardians or parents or whoever was around us bringing us up. We embodied them through modeling and mirroring their posture and the way that they breathe and the way that they speak and language according to different energies around them and situations. And so we learn that, and we also embody those strategies of how to handle our stress that way. So the first three stages, we're basically responding to the world like we did when we were a kid. So the first, if we're working within the first three stages, we're kind of working with your child self.
Wow. Yeah, and everybody recognizes that child self is in there, and we know when it comes out. And I often tell my coaching clients, when you hear that little squeaky voice, that's your 5-year-old. But we can all relate to that one.
We all have those moments where we just want to like kick our feet and stomp our feet and just have a hissy fit, you know. But we've been, you know, told that maybe that's not the appropriate way to be. But what we teach people is, just be in that state, because if you could just be there and kick your feet and stomp your feet on the ground and have a little hissy fit for just a minute, it'll fizz its way through and you can move on. But it's denying ourselves the ability to have that hissy fit that ends up creating an immense amount of tension and withhold in the system and really changing the energetic frequency, vibration, and patterning that's involved in the body. So if we could just embrace that part of ourselves, then we could have a new level of freedom to move to something that's maybe more meaningful. Even if we just really just allowed it to happen, even if it took like 30 seconds, but just have the hissy fit and be done with it without judging it.
Right. I look at that just as simple as shifting energy or not allowing it to be trapped, just letting it express itself and do its what it needs to do, because it, you know, for its highest good, and then it we can move through it rather than staying stuck in that frequency.
We get these adult patterns that judge that, you know, it's not supposed to be like that, or we shouldn't be that way, or we shouldn't be behaving that way. And, you know, everyone's going to kind of have their viewpoints on that. But what I see is when we do get in working with people, is those people that allow that energy to move through and express through are just more well in general. You know, they just have a higher level of well-being.
Yeah, and I think they go with the flow more. They don't get stuck in. I see so many people that get stuck in thought processes or stuck in situations, and they just spend their life, you know, staying there and attracting more to that. Where when you learn to go with the flow, express the energy, move through it, get the help you need by seeing people such as yourself, and moving forward rather than being in these stuck patterns that we have. So for our listeners today, just to let you know, you're on the air with Dr. Stephen Fonzo and Maggie Holbeck of Crystal Clear Coaching. We're with ggmradio.com. And if you want to learn more about Dr. Steve, I'm sure you're finding him fascinating already just as much as I do. But his website is www.virescentlife.com. And Dr. Steve, maybe in a minute, we'll get him to share a little bit more about what that virescent life implies. But just to spell it out for you, that's V-E-R-R-E-S-S, so double S as in Sam, E-N-T-L-I-F-E.com. And how I remember it is when you're spelling virescent, there's no A's. They're all, it's all E's because I wasn't sure if it was an A-N-T, but they're all E's. So virescentlife.com, and he also has a Facebook page if you just search virescentlife.com. Now, Dr. Steve, so tell us a little bit about, we'll go back. I know we have so much information that we can cover here today, and I'd love to have you back on the show again because there is so much, so many great things that we could cover. But tell us a little bit about Virescent Life, and if there's anybody that would like to call in, we will do questions toward the end of the show if people have questions for Dr. Steve, and our call-in number is 347-237-5339. We would love to, I'm sure Dr. Steve would welcome any questions you have, but tell us a little bit about Virescent Life and what that means.
Yeah, Virescent Life, we created that name a couple of years ago. And it basically means vere, which is true, and essence, which is your natural state of being or your core nature. So it's virescent life is living in our world, is living a life authentically in your core nature and true to who you are and true to your core nature. So that's basically the breakdown of the word virescent.
Perfect, perfect. Now,
yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, The tools and strategies that we apply in the office and beyond at retreats and things like that are really all centered around that, and they're all designed around helping you to tap into more of your core essence and your core nature, and for you to discover and transform, awaken to new levels of being.
Wow. So on that note, we're going to delve back into a lot of your great philosophies and wisdom. But is there anything that you have upcoming, Dr. Steve, that people can tap into? I know you do a lot of, you know, healthy living lectures in the community. You know, I think I met you at a trade show the first time, and you do such great work for the community and for the world at large. But do you have anything coming up, any retreats, any lectures or things that people can learn more about or tap into?
From person-to-person contact, we will be running, so if people can keep their eye out, we're going to be running SRI workshops that will be open to the community, and we're going to be doing that at our office. So that's going to be something that we'll be able to run, so people could work with the stages of healing and that healing discipline a little bit more than what I could do, say, on a visit-to-visit interaction.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to spend, I'm creating the space within the schedule to have people experience more of that work, because they can take that home and they could apply the work at home. So that's why I really love it, is it's a self-healing tool and a self-consciousness tool that people can use without me necessarily having to be there. So we're creating the space within the office for people to learn more of that and to be able to kind of train themselves in becoming more aware and living consciously. So that's one thing that we're going to be doing. And it's just going to be an hour kind of drop-in. And we're going to be doing an illumination day, which is open to the members of the practice. That's going to be a one-day retreat going through all 12 stages of healing, as well as Kundalini yoga and gong meditation, which will be really nice, and we'll feed people with some food, good food and things like that. And then we are going to be running an anxiety workshop, a one-day anxiety program, which I believe is going to be scheduled for the end of May, and that's going to be open for anyone. So anyone from wherever in the world can come down, and we're going to be working with the first four stages of healing. We're going to be doing three networks, spinal analysis, and trainments, as well as giving all the tools and strategies to basically not just manage, but really plow through and overcome and create something new for those people that are suffering with anxiety and general anxiety and anxiety-related things. So.
Wow, that's fantastic. Anxiety being a big epidemic out there. Now, can they find out, will this be on your Facebook page, where all the latest happenings or things that you're going to have going on? What's the best way for them to, you know, after today, after this call, if they want to keep following on what you have going on, what's the best way for them to do that?
There's two ways. One is, check us out on Facebook. That'd be great. And the second way is on our website. on the homepage. They could enter in. I gave an alkaline acidic food guide, and you can put your name and email address in there, and you'll get that, and then you'll be in you'll be on our contact list. And then I can let you know of all the upcoming events that we do. We're also looking to do an event either in Cuba or Cancun next year. So that's going to be coming on the horizon. So, yeah, we're going to be doing some different things. So it'd be great to, you know, just to stay in touch with us. And so our you can put your email address in on our homepage.
Awesome. Yeah, I feel so grateful that I get to bring you on the show today and share you with the world, because you're just a wonderful, wonderful man, and I really am, Dr. Steve, so grateful.
Thank you, man.
You've really helped my family, and I, you know, just for the callers, because, you know, some people have this image of chiropractors, and my partner and husband was, you know, he wasn't a person who took to chiropractic care, and, you know, he's a regular patient of yours now, and it's like, you hear everybody, it's, well, got to go see Dr. Steve. It's just, you've done so much for so many people, and I'm just so glad that you're so passionate about your work, and that you have this great vision, and you're moving forward, and it's just awesome, and I definitely want to take some of these things coming up. It fits right into what I'm working on, and I'm sure I can learn many great things from you. So for our callers, again, we have Dr. Stephen Fonzo on the line, on the air. The call-in number is 347-237-5339. You can learn more about him at verrescentlife.com, verrescentlife.com. And you can learn more about your host at maggieholbick.com. That's maggieholbick.com. So we're going to get back, Dr. Steve, and delve a little more into, you know, you were talking about the 12 stages of healing, and I know that you mentioned aware, acknowledge, and acceptance. Are those three of the 12, or is that a separate?
It's a separate tool within each of the stages. So if we really want to immerse and embody in the stage, then whatever stage that we're in, there needs to be an awareness, an acknowledgement, and an acceptance of precisely where you're at in your current reality. And when that happens, then there is instantly a new resolution of some of the energies within that stage, and it frees your energy up to move to a higher stage of function or a higher level of consciousness when that happens. So each stage, through 1 through 12, has an awareness and acknowledgement and acceptance of the rhythms of the stage. Each stage has its own unique rhythm. It has its own unique expression of rhythm, and so by becoming aware, acknowledging, and accepting the rhythm that is within that stage, then you can move beyond that rhythm and experience a new rhythm.
Awesome.
So just like
go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, so just like the, I don't know if you ever looked at the semantics, the vibrational frequencies with sand that they've done. There's some clips on YouTube and things like that. It's, you know, with each tone, with each higher pitch frequency, there's a new level of organization within the sand molecules. And that's kind of like what the stages of consciousness are about, is that each stage has its own unique tone, its own unique rhythm. And it's when you connect with that rhythm and tone that then you can move on to another rhythm and tone. You can organize at a new level.
Like the water crystals with Dr. Emoto and the words, and they form their own formation, whether it's the word love or truth or, yeah.
Yeah, yes.
Now, the 12 stages.
It's a unique organization.
Yes, and the beauty of it. It's just everything is perfect. Everything is absolutely divine in its nature, and it's amazing how perfect it is. Now, the 12 stages of healing consciousness, I know we can't cover them all today, and I want to move on to some other areas, but can we just have a couple of the stages so people can get an idea of what a stage might be of healing consciousness?
Yep.
Great.
Sure. So, yeah, we'll say since we said the first three, then stage four is reclaiming your power. So at that point, what you've realized in stage four is that on some level you've recognized that you're part of being disempowered. You're not looking at somebody necessarily as a victim consciousness. You're looking at as an empowered being to say, I've lowered my standards over time. I felt this too much pain, and it's just time to move on. I have to kind of draw the line in the sand, and so common phrase we'll say in is like, enough of this, I take my power back, meaning that you draw the line in the sand, enough of the old way of being, it's time to move forward. And that's, so that's the first part of really going from discovering what energetically or physically or creates discomfort or pain in any aspect of our life. And it's at that point saying enough. And so we draw a line in the sand and say, I'm moving forward. We don't necessarily know what forward is yet in stage four. We just know we're going to be moving away from our pain at that point. And we've had enough of that.
Wow, and then throwing our hands up in the air. Throwing our hands up in the air. That's, I have a visual. When you, yeah, that's it. Perfect.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, that's the beauty. Like we've all been there, and we're all going to be there at other, you know, at other times in our life. And so, stage. I just wanted to mention a few more about
sure,
the season of.
Sure. We can go through
season.
All of them. That, you know, if that works, because we're going to have you on again.
Okay. So yeah. So stage five is merging with the illusion. So basically, at that point, we're using a different part of our brain, more of the higher centers of our brain, to begin to look back objectively as to how we disempowered ourselves in the past without being in the thick and the mud of it. So it's just like we're looking back objectively. We're not in the emotion of the situation. We're taking like we're looking at that as an old illusion, but we're learning from the old illusion. We're not in it. So that's stage five, which requires a tremendous amount of flexibility. And really, stage five is the first phase of transformation. So if you're wondering, well, am I transforming? You know, if you're able to look at a situation objectively without being in the heat and not being charged about it, that's the first step of beginning to alter and change one's identity, which is in stage five. Stage six is called preparation for resolution. So you begin to do things to prepare for your future. Again, you don't necessarily know what it all entails, but you know that you have this urge and this desire to begin to do different things. And that's stage six is a classic time where people start to kick back into lifestyle practices again. Or it's even a time where people will delve deeper into alternative ways of taking care of their body, you know, doing energy work and things like that. Stage six is kind of classic for that. Stage seven is resolution. So just finally, basically, feeling the full release of the energies that were associated with a hard identity or a hard way of being. And you've loosened the grips on it, and now you could it just releases through the system. So without trying, stage seven naturally happens. So, for example, you look at a room in your house, you've associated with, oh, how messy it is and how disorganized it is, and in stage four you say, enough of this room, it's a disaster, I must clean it. And then in stage five you start to look back and say, well, geez, like, how did I even let that room get there in the first place? And then in stage six, you're like, okay, what do I need to do in this room to start to really get it organized for like an optimal room? And then in stage seven, you're like, I just need to get rid of that, and this no longer serves me. This old photo album's got to go. This room's filled with old boyfriend photos. I got to chuck those. So it's like resolution in stage seven. So that's kind of the stages, if you were to use your room as an example. That's how you might float very quickly through the stages of healing in that way. Is that helpful?
That's very helpful. And I think it goes back to that being able to break down a process or breaking it down in bites. And when you talked about the rooms, I even think of our body being a house and the rooms within our body. And it's because sometimes we're breaking it down exactly that way, aren't we?
And sometimes even though, like, say, a symptom goes, it doesn't mean that there's been resolution. It doesn't mean that there's been an accomplished stage seven within that energy pattern. It just might mean that you're content in the moment, but you might still have things that in your environment that may end up stirring that up again. So some people say, wow, I've been cured. I've been, you know, this pain went away. And then when we start to work in the later stages of healing, they're like, it's back. And because the energy of it hasn't been resolved yet, but you just had a moment of reality where a symptom went.
Wow.
And it's okay, but just recognize where you're at in the process of the healing.
It's all.
So sometimes a symptom can go, but it doesn't mean that there's been resolution. And if there hasn't been resolution with that particular energy, then the symptom may show up somewhere else. It might go from, say, like a colitis, where you think maybe you've cleared some things up, and it might all of a sudden pop down towards the ankle and have ankle inflammation, or it might pop somewhere else because the energy hasn't been resolved yet.
So would you say...
So that's where people, a lot of people symptom chase, and then they judge that, you know, that symptom isn't supposed to be there, and that's where we go drop down into stage two again, where we're chasing symptoms around. Or, I mean, you know, as a facilitator, I mean, we've all had people, and myself as well, kind of chase things around. And that's kind of classic stage two, because that energy pattern still hasn't been resolved yet.
Mm. So would you say when the symptoms move around with that, that would be, you know, the energy manifesting elsewhere with the same frequency?
Same frequency manifesting in just another place.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then with the itis being inflammation, of course. Now, okay, so are we going to get into the last stages of healing?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, great.
Yeah, of course. Those are fun. They're the awakened ones.
Wow.
And so when we look at awakened care, which is advanced care and network spinal analysis, we look at stage eight, which is emptiness in the connectedness. So questions that you might ask in this stage, when we're really in an awakened stage, there's really no language for it, because we're now beyond the ego. We're beyond the sense of self. And when you go beyond the sense of self, then there is no language anymore. Because for us to have a voice and to speak, we need to have an ego. So if you're in awakened care, you're really just being at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And so things that might travel through you in stage eight is, how can I embrace the space? Where is the rhythm? You'll experience peace and stillness and rhythmic connection and gratitude for connection. So that would be something like stage eight. Stage nine is the light behind the form. And I had a great experience with this at a transformational gate not that long ago. I won't get into the particulars, but basically when I was experiencing a stage nine where there was no words, but I actually felt the energy of a past family member that I needed healing with, and I was able to experience his experience of our disconnection.
Wow.
So because we were disconnected, I was able to feel what his experience, it was like leaping in his body and experiencing what he was experiencing. And in that moment, I had just instant empathy and gratitude and just this sense of knowing, so there was no need, which totally transformed my whole idea of forgiveness. Because in that moment, when I felt what he felt, it was over. The game was over. There was not even a concept of forgiveness, because I felt what he felt, and I know what he knew, and that was it. So
wow.
It's kind of transformed even my thoughts of forgiveness, which is kind of interesting.
You know, I have to. Sorry, go ahead. I want to elaborate on that before we move on, though.
Okay. Stage 10.
Before we go into stage 10,
Dr.
Steve, I just want to touch on that experience you had.
Yeah.
Because I moved to tears right now, and I really think for everyone listening out there, this is what we mean by the word "we are all one." That's what you experience, the oneness. We're all one. We're all facets of each other. And if we can understand emotionally, physically, all of those things, where that person is at, we lose all the judgment, because we are that person. And that is such a beautiful experience of that happening. It also reminds me of when they talk about our lives at the end of our lives, when we pass over, flashing before us, and we understand everything, because we can feel how we impacted people and vice versa. So that was really, really moving for me. And
I didn't mean to skim over that. But,
no, that's okay.
That
was probably my gem of the call so far. It really moved me, so I had to elaborate on it.
Thank you for pausing on that, because that was probably one of a very, very big pivotal moment for me in the healing process, and just a transformation of my own energies to be able to experience, you know, 30 years or 28 years of disconnection, and being able to experience what that other person felt in that disconnection was just unbelievable, And yeah, you're right, Maggie. Like, to experience that oneness energy was a sensation. Definitely, I'll definitely never forget. That's for sure.
And you know, for the folks listening, and one of the little techniques you can use if you, and this is just a simple technique, but it's worth sharing. If you're in a situation where you're struggling with someone and you're feeling hurt or whatever it is, and you look at that person, if you want to just sort of shift that energy instantly, is imagine them a little baby in your arms that you're looking down at. They're not that person that you know you feel all this disgruntled feelings or this negative emotion or this fear. If you just take them and you shrink them into this little body with this little innocent divine baby, sometimes you can shift that energy and it makes us step back and become more of an observer and more empathetic and more for our own healing. You know, not even so much for them, but for our own healing, to shift that energy so we're not having the byproduct of hanging on to that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so are we on number 9, right?
Oh, 10.
10, sorry. 9 is the one I love.
10. Yeah, that's okay. 10 is ascension. So a lot of meditative practices will work towards ascension. So basically almost like, you know, reaching up to the stars, and it's witnessing from beyond the soul, exhilaration, joy, awe.
Mm.
That's where you definitely get to experience oneness as you merge into stage 10. Stage 11 is now descending. So now stage 11 is more about service. So you can go up and ascend and get the gifts, and then now we kind of have to bring those back down with us onto this earthly plane. So, you know, we have a sense of humility and humor and also some courage and grace involved in stage 11 as we bring the gifts and ask ourselves, you know, how do I give my gifts in joy and gratitude, or how can I sponsor the sharing of my abundance in stage 11? So you're going up in stage 10 to recognize just the oneness of all and that we have all these, unlimited possibilities. And we go authentically to bring our unique gifts in stage 11. And then stage 12 is just about giving gifts at that point, and just how that, you know, you and I, Maggie, can be each other's medicine, how everyone is involved in interacting with each other, and our constant interactions are all part of the big picture of us being a oneness consciousness. And so it's kind of like a feeling of stage 12 is feeling of coming home, like just an acceptance of others as fellow souls or travelers. And you get a real passion for synchronicity and the total spectrum of everything. So that's kind of a stage 12 is centered around community.
Right. And, you know, stage 12, it reminds me of that saying, we're all just walking each other home.
Mm-hmm.
I love that one. We're all just walking each other home. When you get to that knowing that, and, you know, 11, the being your authentic self and your gifts, and that's what you're doing with us today, Dr. Steve, is sharing your gifts and making us all feel at stage 12. At least I'm tapping into that. So that is awesome.
So
speak in my language.
Thank you. And so those, you know, the stages of consciousness is really the cornerstone for me and the work that I bring. It's kind of the way that I feel really blessed to see the world through these stages of consciousness. So I could not only just self-assess with myself to see where I'm at, but then I could also just observe and be the observer to watch people float through their stages. And, you know, whether I'm at the grocery store, or whether I'm at a hockey game, or I could just enjoy people for all the different various stages that they're in. And so it's kind of fun just to, you know, say be in a hockey rink or be in an event center, and just knowing that there's all this consciousness that is, there's the oneness consciousness, and then there's all the individual consciousness with everyone at their own unique stages. And yeah, it's just fascinating to live life through those eyes, for sure.
Yeah, and that's what I call, you know, when we get to the point of mastering becoming the observer, and it really frees us, because you're right, we can observe and we can see the different stages of consciousness that they're at, and we don't internalize it, we observe. Which brings me to the next question I want to ask you, Dr. Steve, is, you know, when we think of the word emotion, energy in motion, that's really what charges us. Everything is energy, and our emotions are charged by energy, emotion. So tell me, why are so many people challenged with emotional issues? Can you just expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, what I've experienced is one that, you know, within our culture, I'd say it's a major cultural challenge that that we as a culture don't necessarily allow the freedom of expression of our emotions from early on. So I work with a lot of adults, and I see the effects of not having our kids embrace and express emotions freely, because emotional building is generally between the ages of two and five, and that's a big age where people are kind of shut down. That it's the terrible twos stage where they're actually building up their emotional energy, and a lot of it gets stifled. And so, you know, to parents, me being a parent of three, I've worked at allowing the freedom of expression, because what I'm knowing is that I know they're building their emotional energy. And what we do know, if you study, you know, personal growth and change, is that emotion is the fuel for behavior changes. So when people are having difficult times making a change in a job, or they're in a relationship that they know is toxic, but they don't have the emotional leverage to make the change, they just haven't had enough practice at doing emotion. And so if we want to make changes, or if anyone's having trouble making changes in their life, to whether it be to their schedule, their job, their relationships, they need more emotional leverage. They need to express a higher range of emotion that begins to create change and creates behavior change.
Wow.
So part of it I see is the when we're young, we don't get that full nurture of emotional intelligence, the emotional energy, from that age of 2, 3, 4, 5. Because what we do right away is just, you know, oh, how smart we are, or, wow, they're learning to do this, they're learning to do that. We put a lot of emphasis on the intellectual learning when they're not even there yet anyways. I mean, intellect doesn't even really start to develop till after 8, you know, in that space. So we put a high emphasis on the intellect as adults at a very early age on these kids, instead of just allowing them to be free and emotionally expressive in that part of their development.
Wow. You know, all I'm thinking is, good job. We're saying that all the time, you know, reinforcing that in intellectual rather than the emotional.
Instead of helping them to tap into, you know, how do you feel, we'll quickly say, what do you think about this? Or, you know, sometimes those little words, but they mean a lot, because they change what energy you're going to be accessing. And so if we can help the young kids, you know, using more feeling words, you know, that will go a lot further, because they'll be able to say, well, this doesn't feel right, so then they can make a behavior change. But thinking, I mean, you can, with rationalizing, which they haven't really developed their rational mind yet, but you can rationalize anything, you know, but how you feel about something is at your core. And if we can teach, especially early on, if we can teach these kids, like, really involving their emotional energy to really get into what they feel about something, then they have great potential down the road to even have better sustainable behavior changes that are moving more authentically towards where they need to go.
I know, and here I am thinking of all the coaching I do with adults, and that's what I'm having them get them back to that place, is listening to their feelings, knowing that their feelings are guiding them. So if we could nip that in the bud early in the game, we could help a lot of people. Dr. Steve, I want you to commit with me that we can do a show just on that topic for the parents out there, so we can help the kids. Would you commit to that? We can do that in the future?
Yes, I am fully committing to that.
Awesome, because I think that's so, so important. And, you know, I know that we sort of met around the time I was pregnant, so I have my daughter who's 6, and you have the 3, so we've sort of been going through the parenting at the same time as well, and it's a topic that's really near and dear to our hearts, so we can, you know, help the world just to make that process better for everybody involved. And
for sure.
So we're on the air with Dr. Stephen Fonzo and with Maggie Holbeck of Crystal Clear Coaching. Just a couple of announcements. We're getting towards the end of our show. So if anyone does have any questions and they'd like to call in with questions for Dr. Steve or myself, then the call-in number is 1-347-237-5339. And when you, after the call today, we do record the show, so you will have a recording of Dr. Steve's call, which I will be listening to more than one time. I can tell you right now, there's so many things that are gems in here that you know, you don't get it all at once. But we did start later, so you're going to have a recording for the first half hour. We did a special time today, so there will be music playing, but you can just zoom ahead on the little bar to bring you to the after 30 minutes into the call when it starts, and we really don't have any way to change that. Also, another announcement is next week there will be no show. I am taking a vacation day. It's my last day here in Orlando, and I want to spend that with my family, so I'll be taking the week off. But check the schedule at ggmradio.com to see what the upcoming shows are, and we're going to have some amazing speakers, and I'm sure you'll enjoy each and every one of them in their own unique and authentic way. So, Dr. Steve, we have a few minutes left, about seven. Anything that you'd like to share just as we wrap up? I know I have a million questions that I could ask you, and I'd love to ask you, but I'm just going to throw it over to you and see if there's any final thoughts that you want to conclude with.
Sure. One thing that I think within my own practice, within my own being, that when I look at making change, and I've had some people just recently that have been stuck in their healing process, and working with them, is that we get into, it's kind of back into the judgment mode that something's not supposed to happen. And so if we take in a more of an awakened perspective and the synchronicity perspective, and we fuel our life from awakened to say that, you know, every interaction that we have is absolutely supposed to happen. Every condition that we have can be fuel for change and reorganization. Every up and down is all this, you know, this master plan of design to help us to reorganize ourselves to a higher level. You don't need to take on a victim role at any point in your life if you don't want to, because if you take the approach that, you know, life is, you know, like the classic saying, life is happening, you know, for you instead of to you, and so it's happening for you, and that it if we start to get into the word of should as opposed to shouldn't be happening, it should be happening. That, wow, I'm experiencing this pain, I'm experiencing this distress, I'm experiencing it, and I need to feel it, and I need to feel it for a reason. And if I can tap into feeling it, then I can get the gift from it, and I can reorganize my body or my mind or thoughts or my life from that point. But it becomes really difficult for people to reorganize to another level when they're using words like this shouldn't happen. So I would say that, you know, one aspect that could really free your energy up and really, you know, get your energy in motion is to use and embrace the word should. Like, this should be happening. I should be here. And I should be experiencing this. And, I mean, we know that there's stories on, you know, all different radios and talk shows where people come and they were, you know, they had real big challenges early on in life, but those were fuels and catapults to help them achieve things in their life they never even dreamed possible. And there's always the gift in the symptom. There's always the gift in the circumstance. So if we use the word should, then we open up new vehicles of energy to reorganize ourselves in our life.
Wow. Yeah, you know, that reminds me of loving what is and not being in resistance. So many people live in resistance, and they're just, you know, they're bucking everything that happens to them or every direction that they don't even see the opening because they're in resistance. And you're right, what is happening is, and trusting that that's for a higher purpose. That totally resonates with the way I think on that. Now, Dr. Steve, we have like 4 minutes left or 6 minutes maybe here, depending on your clock. This new time change, there's different clocks in this house, so it was kind of funny when we got here. I was to figure out what time zone I was on and what clock was right. But we have a few minutes. I want to thank you so much for being on the call. I want to get together with you and schedule some more, especially the kids one, and I'm sure we have a lot of other topics. And, you know, people can reach you at your website or through Facebook, and that was www.fluorescentlife.com. So Dr. Stephen Fonzo's website is VERESENTLIFE.com. And if you search that in Facebook, you'll find his Facebook page as well. And, you know, give him a like and I love Facebook for that reason. You can keep abreast of what's going on with people that you're sort of following, and get connected to, if you're resonating with them, with the information that they're sharing. So I want to thank you, and we have a minute or two left. Is there anything you want to add on maybe a tip or two of what people can do after they get off of this call, one step they can take in moving forward into their health? Is there one thing, Jem, you could throw out there for them that is just a starting point?
Sure. I would say you had mentioned the word, and I think that would be like a great homework word to just begin to explore, and even just to write out on a chart and just to start to look at the word is trust.
Mm.
Because most of the things that we're experiencing, I mean, if you're trusting that things are happening for a reason, then you're not really living out of a mode of distress. You're living out of a mode of growth. So even just like writing the word down, making that a screensaver on your computer, and just starting to really embody and see and visually see that word, trust, and start to get familiar and build a relationship with that word, I think could be hugely valuable. Because most of the experiences where people come in to see me, they're not trusting that their body's helping them to reorganize their life. And it's my job to give them value in their experience. And it's one of my jobs, I think, on planet Earth, is to give help people to see the value in their experience. So, and I see that if we have the people that trust that things are happening, can really create a phenomenal life for themselves. So I'd say, post that word trust up somewhere and just really see it, embody it, live it, love it, and that alone could change everything for sure.
I agree. Trust, if you go to my website, maggieholbrook.com, I have a little thing on the side about trusting that we are divinely guided and everything happens for our highest good. And I just like to read that every once in a while to remind myself of that just trusting, because it's so with that frequency of love is all there is, which I'm going to wrap up with today. Thank you so much, Dr. Steve.
Thank you, Maggie, for doing what you do, too. I really appreciate you having me on here and doing what you do. I know you spread the love.
I do. I believe that love is all there is, that we need to live fearlessly, live authentically, and live in joy. And all of those things are so important. So thank you again.
Thank you.
And everyone have an amazing day, and we'll see you in 2 weeks. Bye-bye.